Matthew chapter 5. And it's been interesting over the last several weeks with the different messages the Lord has put in my heart to give, that it certainly wasn't my intention. I looked at them as being totally scattered and kind of separate from each other, but I've been finding as I've been studying that really they've in many ways kind of building upon one another, and I hope that this will again be a help, kind of reinforce some of what we've said the last few weeks, and give us another thought to proceed forward into. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you desire to use us, to transform us into your image so that we might be a blessing to others. Lord, we just pray that we would help us to understand the importance of drawing nigh to you so that as we touch others' lives, that they might be forever changed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been quite fortunate over the last two weekends. I've gotten to participate in two centennial celebrations, first here in Kindersley, and then this past weekend in the town I grew up of Castor. They just celebrated their 100th anniversary as well. And some of you might have experienced it, kind of the whole homecoming atmosphere of seeing people that you went to school with, people that you hadn't seen for a long time coming back, and you have an opportunity to meet with them, see how they're doing. And of course, with me being new to Kindersley, that's not something that I really got a grasp of as much when I was here last week, but this weekend it was very clear, just different people I saw that I hadn't seen for a long time, and just catching up, see how they're doing. It's just kind of neat to even, I know the one teacher, I didn't have a name tag on yet or anything, but he recognized me as a Holloway, and he'd taught both of my brothers, and so he wanted to see how I was doing, and it was a blessing. But when you meet with people you haven't seen for a long time, you're concerned, you're wondering how they've been doing, and you have a concern for them spiritually. I know with some of the ones that I grew up with, some ones I went to school with, certainly it doesn't seem like they had any understanding of spiritual things or accepted Christ when they were in school, and you're wondering, well, maybe they've made a decision like that later on in their life, or you wonder, well, maybe if they haven't yet, then can be a help to them, can maybe be a witness to them in the time that we have. And it's a short amount of time. It was only a weekend, and so you know it may only be just a brief few minutes that you get to talk to a person, but you want to make that moment count. You want to reconnect with that person in the hope that you could say something, that you could do something that would spark something within them that would draw them unto Christ. And we recognize that the work that the Lord does in people's lives, it's His work, and we just enter into it. But we want to have a part in it. We want to, whether it's planting, whether it's watering, we want to be able to help in that way. And so a question I ask myself, and that we can ask ourselves as well, how can we ensure this, that when we meet someone on the street or we have any kind of contact with another person, how can we ensure that we're making an eternal difference in their life, that we're blessing them spiritually? And what we want to look at in that today is the power of relationship. We understand that relationships have power to shape our lives, to the good or to the bad. That a parent and a child have a relationship, that they're together for at least 18 years, and we understand that a child, when they're brought up by their parents, that they are greatly affected by it, that it can affect everything down to their very mannerisms of how they do things, how they conduct themselves, their values, their responses to difficulty, what the child has seen in the parent, that has an effect on them, that it has molded them into who they are right now. We think of that as well with teachers and students. Some of the teachers that we remember, that they maybe gave us a thirst for knowledge, a desire to do our best, to excel. And then there's other teachers that we had that you just kind of, you're looking at the clock through the whole class, waiting for it to be over so you can get to something else. And that's something I saw firsthand just as came back for the homecoming. I actually saw quite a few of my teachers, and there's always some where you really remember. Well, I met my one teacher, my shop teacher, Todd Brick, there, and it was really good to see him, and I really liked him. And then there's other teachers that you see, and it's like, well, you're not sure, like you're glad to see him, but you know that even though they may have thought you were a good student, you maybe weren't that fond of them yourself. But we realize that having that relationship, it has an effect. It changes us. It makes us different. And so we recognize that. We recognize also the companionship that we have, that we can have some friends that lead us toward God, that help us in our walk with God, but then we can have others that might lead us away. And we recognize that truth throughout Scripture. It says in Proverbs 13, and verse 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." It's that sense that the company that we keep affects us, that if we walk with wise men, we shall be wise, that if we seek to be with those that are going to challenge us to step forward, to grow further in our relationship with God, that it'll help us, it'll bring us up further. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And we can think of that even in our school life as we grow up, that if we make decisions to go with the wrong crowd, that it can get us into a lot of trouble, that they can take us a lot further than we would expect to normally. And that's why some have said that it's better to be alone than to be in bad company. And we see as well in Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." That we understand that when we have a good friend, that isn't something that together we drag each other down. It's together that you build each other up, that you become strengthened, that you're challenged to do better, to exceed where you are, that you would improve yourself. And so we look at it as believers, that our desire is to be around God's people, be specifically around those that are spiritually mature, so that they will challenge us, so that they will enable us to go on in godliness, so that we could become like Him, that we want to have those influences upon us. And we think of that, different people in our Christian walk that have mentored us through the years. The relationship that we had with them has had great power in our lives, that we can be so thankful to God for them, that they have helped us along. And so that is what we desire to be, that we want to make sure that we have good influences upon us, good friendships. But yet we recognize that there are others that are in need of wisdom, that are in need of Christ, and we know that we just can't abandon them. We just can't say, well, I'm going to just hang with all the people that are going to help me, and then see these people, other people that are struggling, or people that don't know the truth, that we just totally forget about them. We recognize that separation from the world and from false doctrine is necessary as a Christian, but that separation does not mean isolation. That the Lord says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that we are to be trying to reach out and trying to minister to others. And so the question is, how do we ensure, first of all, that we will be an influence for good in other people's lives, rather than having no effect on their life, or even worse, being influenced by others to do what is wrong? And we ask, well, how do we ensure that our actions, that our words, the way in which we conduct ourselves draws people to Christ rather than having no effect at all or even actually drive people away from Him? That's not what we desire at all, that we want everything that we do to be something that will draw people's attention to God, not to ourselves, but they'll see, well, there's something different about this person. They want to know what it is. And we see this idea in the Scriptures given in the word conversation, that we use it today of the idea of what we say. But in Bible times, or at least in the times that the Scriptures were translated into our language, conversation meant the idea of our manner of life, how we lived our life, every part of it, not just what we said, but what we did, how we acted, how we treated other people. And it says in Philippians 1 verse 27, it says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That we want our manner of life to be what it becomes the gospel of Christ, that it's an adornment, that it's something that a person would be drawn to Christ because of the way that we live, that it would not be something where they see us, they see the way we treat other people, and they say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. And so we want to make sure of that. And how do we ensure that? That we can be an influence of good, not be influenced to evil. How can we be sure that we draw people to Christ by our lives and not draw Him away? And we understand, as we speak of the power of relationships, that we can only ensure that by the strength of the most important relationship in our life, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in the passage that we began with in Matthew chapter 5 of how it speaks of us, that Jesus said that ye are the salt of the earth. That we think of salt, that it's something that brings thirst, something that enhances flavor. That we recognize that when we're in front of other people, when we're trying to minister to the lost, that we want to have that effect on them, that they would desire what we have, that it would be pleasing to them, that we recognize no one is drawn by a bland Christianity, and we don't want to have a bland Christianity. We want it to be vibrant. We want to have an abundant life, something where we have joy and peace and fulfillment and contentment in our life. He speaks also that we are the light of the world, and we recognize in John 8 verse 12 that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we, as we look at these two verses together, we recognize that we are on this earth as His representatives. Then that He is the light of the world, and that we are to direct others to Him, and that the light that we have, the light that we allow to shine, comes from Him. And so if we're to be a light in this world, that we have to walk in His light. We see this in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we want to recognize that we want to manifest His light, we want to manifest His love to others. That we recognize as well that as Christians, if we're not manifesting love to other people around us, then it's a sign that our relationship with God isn't as it should be. That Jesus spoke in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one to another." That people want to see that. If we're following Him, we will have a love for one another. And we see in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." And so if we don't have the proper relationship with the Lord, we won't have the proper relationship with those around us, and we will not be able to give forth His light. We will not be able to shine as lights before men. And we spoke last week of how God's desire is for our transformation, for our Christ-likeness, that we would be changed into His image from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. And we want to recognize that this change, this transformation, it is not just for our own sakes to make our lives better. We want to understand that it's for the Lord's sake and for the sake of these people around us that are watching us, that are looking to us to be light, looking us to be salt, looking to us to be the example that we should be. And sometimes, sadly, as the Lord tries to work on us, as He tries to transform us, we get self-focused, we resist His hand, we procrastinate in dealing with things. And we want to realize that when we do that, it affects more than just us. The lost are watching us. And our failure to allow God to mold us into His image may in part jeopardize the salvation of souls if they don't see us doing what we ought to as Christians. And that's something that we don't realize, I think, how much lost people, if they find out that we're a Christian, that they're watching us. They want to see, well, how are we acting? How are we conducting ourselves? Is this person for real, or are they just the same as everybody else? That they just put on kind of an idea of religion, but it has no effect in their life. That the Lord wants us to be real. He wants us to be transformed. That we're not just trying to look righteous on the outside, but that He's changed us so that we are righteous from the inside. That we would strive to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would strive to be changed as a result of knowing Him. And when we understand that, when we know Him, that His relationship has an effect on us. It changes us. And as He changes us, we naturally will have an effect on others. Because we see from the Scriptures that whenever the Lord Jesus met someone, in His life, even though if it was only for a few moments, just a brief amount of time, we recognize that whenever His life touched theirs, that their lives were changed forever. We think of Nicodemus, the man that came to Him by night, and the Lord confirmed him and said, "Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." We think of the woman at the well that just went there to get some water, but Jesus talked with her and she came to know Him as Savior, that she left her water pot, that it wasn't important anymore. And she went and told people in the village about this one that had come. We think of Jairus, of who his daughter was dying, and the Lord Jesus was coming, but yet He was too late, that his daughter died before He got there, but yet the Lord said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he went and healed his daughter, raised her up from the dead. And that family, though it was suffering, had suffered such a great loss, now there was rejoicing because of what Jesus did. We think of Bartimaeus, of how Jesus was just passing by, and many told him to be quiet, not to bother Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I want him to come. And he touched his eyes that he was healed. And we think of that again and again with the lepers. We think of the disciples, of how these men that were just fishermen, that kind of everyone else had overlooked, that the Lord touched their lives and they were changed. And we want to understand that if we are spending time with the Lord, if we are like Him, we have the potential to affect that same change in other people. We see in Acts chapter 4 the testimony that was given of the disciples. It says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And we understand that they had spent time with Jesus and they were changed as a result, that they were having an effect on all those around them, that as they preached, that people were changed. Some got angry, but others were converted, that there was a difference that occurred. And so that is what we need to desire to be, this idea that we would be salt, that we would not just allow, kind of bring a person just only confirmation, well, you're okay, you don't need to worry about anything, but instead bring that thirst, well, that they would see, well, there's something that this person has that I don't have, but I want to have in my life. That it would promote salt, that it would enhance the flavor, that they would see, well, this person is a Christian. This person, I can look at their life from back to front and I don't see any inconsistencies there. I see them being faithful throughout. And I'm willing to listen to what they have to say because I can tell that they're the real thing. That we allow our lights to shine as Christians. That it, we understand that it's not our own light that we're trying to bring. And it's kind of the thought of we try to put forth our own righteousness. It's just kind of like a flickering candle that just kind of flutters and it's not consistent. But when we're close to the Lord Jesus, when we draw close to Him, allow Him to change us, that we're able to have that consistency in our Christian life. We're able to do right. That even when we're driven beyond the point that most would be able to stand, that we still stay faithful, we still stay calm, that we still treat people the way that we should. And it's a thought that we think of that the Lord is spoken of as the Son of Righteousness. And in a sense, we are the moon that's reflecting His light to a world that's in darkness. That we understand that scientifically, that the moon does not give light, it's just the reflection of the sun. And we're that same idea, that we, as we take in His light, that we reflect it to others. And that's what He wants us to do. This world is in darkness and He wants us to shine. And we can't shine in our own strength, by our own power, but we can shine by the power of the relationship that we have with Him. That it's the thought of Moses, that he spent time before God in His presence and he came out and his face shone. That it's the idea that we have, that we spend time in the presence of God, the presence of our Savior, that we are changed. And because of that, we change others. And we see that, if you turn with me finally to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, it says, beginning in verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And that is the thought, that God has begun a good work in us. He will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And He worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and His desires to transform us into His image, to make us Christ-like. And so what we are to do is to allow Him to work in us. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that we know that the Lord has a purpose for us to become like Him. We allow Him to work. We allow the different trials that come into our life to mold us and shape us by God's hand into what He wants us to be. That we don't procrastinate, we don't delay and think, well, I'll deal with that some other time. But no, we work it out. We allow God to do His work in us. That we don't, all the things that we don't do it with complaining, with fighting. And it's that thought that we would be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That there's nothing that a person could put against our record to say, well, this person has done this wrong, that they accuse me of this, but yet they're guilty of the same thing, that they see that we're blameless and harmless. Lord speaks that we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that we're not there to inflict injury, but to help, to strengthen, to have compassion. That we are the sons of God, that we act like the sons of God. We are His representatives. It speaks of that in John chapter 1, of how it says that to them that believed, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That thought of His grace, that we who are sinners, that had no right to claim any relationship with Him, that were aliens, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, separated from God, that we can be adopted as His sons, and then we can be changed so that we act as His children, that we act as His representatives, that we have, there's no ability of someone can rebuke us because they see that we're doing right. And we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Any nation that is in this world today, we understand that to be the case if their God is not the Lord. That we shine as lights in the world, that there is great darkness around us, and we think, well, how can we ever change it? How can it ever be turned around? But it becomes as God's people draw close to their Savior, as He changes us from the inside out, and then we're able to shine for Him. We're able to light the darkness so that others might come to the light as well. And so may the Lord help us, that we would understand the power of relationships that we have, that we would put our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first of all, that He would be our closest friend, that He would sharpen us. We would allow Him to push us onward in our Christian life so that we could become more the person we desire to be. So that then, in the relationships that we have with those around us, even though we may just have a few moments with someone, that the Lord can use us to change that person's life forever. That just a brief moment of compassion, a few words spoken to get them thinking about spiritual things, that we can make a difference through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through the power of our relationship with Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for all You've done, all You want to do in us, Lord. We pray You would help us to allow You to do Your work and not fight against it. And help us to realize what's at stake, Lord. Those around us that are watching us, that need us to be faithful witnesses for You. Just help us that we would shine, Lord. That it would be a steady light, not a flickering inconsistency, Lord, as we try to do in our own strength, Lord, but that You would change us, Lord, and that we would shine brightly for You so that others might be affected forever by Your touch through us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more. We'll turn to number 371 and sing Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, hymn 371. In 370. 71, let the lower lights be burning.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, You may rescue, You may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, You may rescue, You may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, You may rescue, You may save.
Amen. Brother Jerry, if you please dismiss us in prayer.
Our gracious Lord.